Accession number 17358, Reel 5.
Mr. Flanagan, Reel 5.
Sir, I said you certainly were the surgeon. But they treated us wonderfully, actually. I have them to thank for me face, because they whatever they did to me, I don't carry very many scars from the burns. And I was burnt, all my fingers, my hands, my forearms, my body, my face, all my hair burnt off, and they were absolutely gentle as anything with me, and treated me wonderfully. And when I came into Hong Kong, we went up to the Peak Hospital, which is the naval hospital. And that was a different story, because suddenly the penicillin was every so many hours, and you only got a certain amount, you know. The Yanks just blitzed you with anything you needed, and the British are so, you're only supposed to have one every 4 hours, and you get one every 4 hours, you know. They took me up and they cleaned my stumps up again, brought me down, put the right, because the right stump was an emergency amputation, there was no skin on it, no fat on it, no tissue. And to wear an artificial limb, you need like a padding under the stump. So they put tapes on the skin and weights on it to try and pull the skin down to make a pad at the bottom of the stump. And that's painful, that. And the left stump was wide open, and they had spring clips on trying to draw the skin together on that, you know. So I was in a pretty bad state, and they came one night to dress my arms and my face. The face was pretty well by the time I got in off the repose, but my arms were still bad. To me, the left one was the worst, but they reckon I nearly lost the right arm through gangrene. But the left one always looked the worst to me. And they used to take the dressing off and then wash it down with saline. And they had the window open, and as they wet it, the wind or the draft coming through the window was drying on the... Oh, and it was most painful. But I was in this from sort of May to June, about a month in the hospital, and then they put me on the Lancashire.
May to June 49?
Yes. And they put me on the Lancashire to take me home. When I got to Liverpool, my mum and all the families of the wounded came aboard to see them, you know, the wives, the sweethearts, all this. So it was quite an emotional meeting with my mum, and she was saying, "What can I bring you? What can I bring you?" I said, "Oh, bring me a bar of Blackpool Rock." So she stood there with this bar of Blackpool Rock, you know, just something to bring me if you didn't really want anything. Anyway, she brought me the bar of Blackpool Rock, and I've got several photographs of us arm in arm, sort of, with this bar of Blackpool Rock. But years later, I found out that she had a hell of a hard time trying to get aboard the ship to see me. You know, she had the British Legion and the Blesma, all these service organisations are fighting for us, for permission to come aboard the ship. And they took us from there down to Plymouth, to Haslab, Stonehouse, sorry. So we were in Stonehouse for a while, And then they brought me back to Liverpool and put me in a hospital in Liverpool. And they then did a second amputation on my right leg. They was going to do one on the left one, but I managed to talk them out of that. But they did a second one on my right leg. And eventually I was fitted with artificial limbs. Got the left one first. And that was a horrifying moment the first time I stood up on that. And the pain was so intense that I just literally froze. I felt everything draining right out of me from the top downwards, and I couldn't move, and I was on crutches, and they just pushed me backwards, and I fell on the bed, and oh my God, now I know what I've got to do. But it wasn't long before I was up and moving on the left leg, and I've got the crutches quite good. Then I got the right leg for Easter 1950. So you're supposed to do training with it, and I said, well, can I take it home, I'm going home for Christmas, for Easter. And that was my first trip home, you know. I went home in October on crutches, and they give me a civil. All the people in the town came to meet me and
reception. Cheer.
Yeah, civil reception. Yeah.
In Kirkham?
No, in Poulterley Farm, that's where I lived. That was quite.
How do you feel the authorities have treated you?
When I came out of the forces, not very well. Sort of, you left, and there was nothing for you. So I sort of got used to my legs a bit better, and there was no work for me, no job for me, you know, and nobody were interested in me. You'd lost your legs, amen. So I went. I had some friends on trawlers, deep sea fishing, you know, north off Iceland, and they said, well, we want an engineer on board. Would you come? So I said, yeah.
Is this from Fleetwood?
From Fleetwood. So I went to try and get my papers to sign on the. They wouldn't let me go. So then I kicked them into action. They made me sit an exam to see if I could pass for the civil service. So I passed the exam, and I went into the civil service. But apart from that, you know, they really weren't interested in it. I did a course when I came out, rehabilitation course, and I did a course at the Blackpool Technical College. But it didn't do me any good. I couldn't get a job with it. But I got a job in the civil service at Norcross Blackpool. And that was quite hard, because of the mentality of the civil servants and me being a sailor. I was still a sailor in my head. And it was.
What was the difference?
I don't know. They seemed very old and very steadfast in their ways, and you couldn't open the window. It was me sciatica and me, oh, you know. So I found it. They were very doddery, if you can put it that way. They all sort of set in the little jobs, and I've got to do this. So I wasn't really happy there. And I met a girl from Liverpool while I was in hospital, and started courting her, and her father said, well, there's a job in Dunlop's for you. It's piecework, sitting down on machines. Are you interested? So I said, yeah, sure I am. So he told me the money was twice what I was getting at the civil service. And I went along there, and it was a job that you could either do or you couldn't do. You know, you would get 30 men come in to do the job, and if one to two stayed, you were very fortunate. Anyway, I stayed, and I could do it quite well. So I was on that for couple of years, and then a vacancy came in the engineering planning, and I applied for it and went into that.
In Dunlop's?
In Dunlop's, yeah. So I was in engineering planning there for till 1980, when Dunlop's closed, and I moved straight from there. I left on the Friday, and I started in the Monday in Tate and Lyle Research and Development in Knowsley, which was eventually taken over by an American company, and I stayed there until I retired. And
how old were you when you retired?
65. So I did very well.
Do you feel any bitterness about what's happened towards anybody?
No. It's one of those things. You sign on to fight in the services, and you expect something different. As I say, we lost two of the family during the war, and one torpedoed so many times he was a mental case virtually. He suffered dramatically with combat stress, which nobody recognised for many years. But he, you know, so I went in with my eyes wide open. So I know I'm a bloke who takes life, no matter what it throws at you, I'll take it, you know. There's nothing you can do about it, so you've got to get on with it.
And has Blesma been of much use to you?
Yes, they're excellent. Yeah, very, very good. I played golf. I got down to a 10 handicap at one time, so became captain of the Dunlop Golf Society. There's me. They presented that at the end of the year, you know. It was a... I've enjoyed it. I've had a good life. Got nice kids. Nice wife.
You were telling me about the conflict with the American servicemen in the Far East, but did you not find they were hospitable in the bars when you met them?
No, they were. They had more money than we did. And they were sort of condescending to us. You ain't got much money, boy. Let me buy you a drink. Which sent the hackles. And that's inevitably what led to the fights with the, you know, your poor limeys sort of thing. There was one particular time I had met a cousin of mine down in Plymouth, and we'd been out on the town, and we'd crossed some Yanks, and a fight had started, and we'd had a fight with the Yanks, and we're walking back to the ship. And we passed an American destroyer. So I was standing at the bottom of this destroyer gangway shouting, send me the best man you've got. Come on. And they're all laughing at me. And a few years later, a few months later, I was on leave. And I was going out to join a consort. And I was on leave in Blackpool. And I was having a last pint with the lads in the Palatine Hotel before catching the train, and this American soldier, Mexican type of lad, and he came over. Hi fella, how you doing? You have a drink with me? And I said, no thank you. Come on guy, have a drink with me. And I was getting a bit tense. No thank you. And the lad said to me, oh, have a drink off him, for God's sake. So I said, okay, I'll have a drink with you. So he bought me a drink. And I sat talking to him, and he'd had a marvellous time, whatever had happened to him. he'd had a wonderful night, and he had a bottle of whiskey which you couldn't get hold of, and he got this bottle of whiskey and he was having an absolute fabulous time, and he's saying, telling me what a marvellous day that and how great it was in England, you know. So, oh, okay. So he said, where are you going? So I said, I'm waiting to catch the train back to Plymouth. Oh gosh, he said, well, I'll come and walk you to the train. So I said, yeah, okay. So he's walking me to the train and he's got this bottle of whiskey and he's delighted with this bottle of whiskey. And an American patrol pulled in and said, hey guy, you got a pass? Oh, he said, yeah, I got a pass. He said, I've had a marvellous night. I've had a wonderful night. And he's telling him about this night he's had. And he gave him his pass. And he said, well, get on the train. He said, no. He said, I'm on the last train. You're getting on this train. And he said, oh, come on, guys. He said, don't want any trouble off you. You're getting on the train. And he said, I ain't going on the train. He said, I've got a late pass and I'm going on the last train. I don't want to fight with you, I don't want to argue with you, but I'm not going on this train. I'm going to see my buddy off. So I started to move in alongside him, and he said, oh, no, don't get involved. Just leave me. And he gave me the whiskey. He said, just hold the whiskey, don't lose that. And he backed against the wall. And he's pleading with these blokes, really, I don't want any trouble. And one of them came in with a nightstick. I told you before, they just out come the sticks and they start hitting, and as it was coming down, this lad hit him and the other two come running in it, and he hit the both of them. So there was three of them, two on the floor, one trying to get up. The first one got on the siren and the other two jumped back up with the nightsticks, and then the third one came in and another van came in with four more in, so there was seven of them, and they got round this lad and he shifted the seven of them, and another one came, another van with four more in, and he finished a lot of them. And I was standing watching this exhibition, and all I could see was me standing at the bottom of this destroyer shouting, send me the best man you've got, you know. And I'm watching this single man take away all these patrols. With one of them managed to hit him with a stick, and that really got him mad, and he was like a John Wayne film. He came up and he hit this man and he flew through the air, you know. And I give him the whiskey at the end of all this, and I'd missed my train, so come on. So we disappeared into Blackpool and the patrols are out looking for him, you know. But that was a lesson, you know. Send me the best man you've got.
Which year was this?
This was 47, when I was going out to meet the consort.
Was he a sailor or a soldier?
Soldier, American soldier. I don't know, you know, they're called soldiers, but they're American soldier airmen, aren't they, in all this business.